And all that's going on, and my daughter, Liberty, is standing in the middle. She hasn't moved, and she's just like, Daddy, we can't do this. Daddy, we can't do this. And as she's processing, we can't do this, she's thinking, and we're not going to get ice cream. Daddy, you have to make it easier, and I am serious.
Well, I'll never forget the first time it sank in for me, I mean really sank in for me, that I needed to be intentional about the spiritual formation of my own kids. Hi, I'm Kurt Bruner, and thanks for listening. My older two were 5 and 3 years old. I was an elder at my local church. I was working at Focus on the Family, so I was in ministry. I was finished with my seminary education, but I wasn't doing anything intentional in the home with my own kids, and I remember going on a business trip with Jim Weidman. At the time, he was an IBM sales rep. He was talking to us about a re-engineering project and some new technology and solutions. And so we were flying together, I think, to New York. And he starts telling me all these stories, in between football stories, because he had been co-captain of the Air Force football team and has some great stories there, and crashing some planes while he was a pilot, all those kind of guy stories. He tells me one story after another about things he's doing with his kids called family night activities. Now, I had never heard of the concept. It was brand new to me. And I remember thinking, well, good heavens, he's just an ordinary guy doing these things effectively with his kids. I could do that maybe if I tried. And so I began that routine, and my wife and I started family nights, which we've done with our kids now for, boy, more than a decade. But what's interesting is what got me going on that process in our family was just sitting and listening to an ordinary dad who's doing it with his own kids. And he was excited about it, and it inspired me to get going. And so I hope to achieve the same thing for you today, listening to this edition of the podcast. We're going to hear from 3 regular dads. None of them are seminary-educated, professional pastors, or anything of that nature. They're just ordinary dads who've been inspired, some of them through the Home Point Ministry, to become intentional at home with their own kids. First, we're going to hear from Kyle Cavan. Kyle is an administrator in the medical field, actually with a children's hospital. And he went back and attended the church that he grew up in, and his dad is interviewing him on the platform. And we're going to hear the part where Kyle gives his answer as they're discussing why is it that some kids who grow up in the church stay in the faith and other kids just seem to abandon it or walk away from the faith. After Kyle, we'll transition into hearing from 2 other guys, and I'll introduce those when the time comes. So let's start out by hearing from Kyle Cavan, who's describing what it was like to be at the hospital when he first became a dad.
You know, I'll never forget that moment when they were born. I was standing in the delivery room, and just the sea of emotions that happened. If you've ever been there before, it's just an incredible event, because you're juggling all these emotions from joy to anxiety. And it was about then that the responsibility and the authority just kind of just overwhelmed me for just a minute. Because, you know, the hospital, they let you take the baby home. They don't make you take an IQ test or anything else. They give you the baby and they go, it's yours. Have fun. All right. And as long as you bring a car seat with you, then that baby's going home with you no matter what. And it's up to you. So it was now my job to provide for these 2 kids physically. But it was also my job to provide a home, and Kelly's job to provide a home that was nurturing to them emotionally. But then I also realized very quickly that, you know what, as the spiritual leader in my home, it was my job to provide something for them spiritually. And I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. And it was just really overwhelming responsibility. And I'll never forget being to dinner with a bunch of new dads. We were all sitting around swapping stories about not sleeping and diapers and all the other things that dads do. And we were talking about this. And the question came up because we were talking about some of our buddies from high school and college. And as Dad said, I did grow up in a great church. I grew up here in this youth ministry. And I loved everything about it. But we started talking about stories, and then somebody finally said, you know, I wonder what so-and-so's doing now. And, you know, we might be able to track a few of our friends, but we saw firsthand. And I remember sitting, not in this auditorium, but in the other auditorium, and I can think of people who sat right beside me week in, week out, every Sunday, every Wednesday, who have walked away from the faith. And then the question popped up. So what's the difference? What's the difference in those of us who want to continue on in our faith and those who've walked away? And we really struggled with it. We talked about it. Is it prayer? Is it Bible study? You know, what are we supposed to be doing with our kids to make this thing work? And in the midst of this struggle, I came across this passage in Deuteronomy, and I love this passage in Deuteronomy because I think it does a couple things. If you look at where it is in context of Scripture, it's right after Moses comes down and he delivers the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel. And he says, you know what, these are the things that you guys are supposed to be about. But he doesn't stop there. He says, you know what, not only are you supposed to do these things, but I want you to teach your kids all of these things, and I want you to impress it upon their hearts. And I love that language there. But then he even goes just a step further to go, but let me kind of give you just a brief example of exactly how you're supposed to do that. In verse 5, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And for me as a dad, that means that if anything is going to happen in my household, it's got to start with me. I cannot lead my family in a direction that I'm not going. It's impossible. And that's tough because you know what? Your kids know. All right, they figure out what's important to you. They figure out what you enjoy and what you love and the passions and the interests that you have. My kids see me do a lot of different things. They see me watching football games a whole lot of time. They see me getting passionate about a Rangers game. But how many times do they see me getting passionate about the Word of God? How many times do they actually observe that in my life? My 4-year-old Kai, I love him to death. He's my little linebacker. The kid loves to hit. But when he hits, he doesn't just, you know, gently kind of lightly tap you and wrap his arms around her. He throws his entire 55-pound weight dead into you, and I mean, he hits. In fact, his favorite phrase when he was 3 years old was, Daddy, I'm about to boom you. All right? And that was his warning that he's coming. All right? And hopefully he gave you a warning, because it was the times that he didn't that you really had to worry. All right? And, you know, the person that can attribute this the best is my mother-in-law, Kathy Johnson. Because one day, Kai decided that he was going to get hurt. Now, let me preface this by saying, several nights at my house, you will see the boys and me in the floor, usually with a football, throwing each other around, rolling around, hitting each other, piling on, that kind of thing. And that's just the way we do things. We just show affection that way or whatever. But this night, Kai decided that he was going to do that with his Gigi. And so he starts in the kitchen, and he runs around the kitchen table. And he goes in, and so quietly and without any warning at all, he just throws his entire weight into her back as she's sitting on her knees. And not only does he knock her off balance, he takes her all the way down to the floor. Now, being the football player dad that I am, I have to say my heart swelled with pride just a little bit. Because he used good form. He wrapped up. It was a pretty thing. But Kelly kind of looked at me like, you need to go talk to him about this. And so we go back to his room. And I get him on his eyes face to face. And I said, you know what, Kai? We can't do that with your Gigi. And I just remember this look of confusion like, but Daddy, we always do that. You see, my actions will always speak louder than my words. And the things that I want my kids to do are things that I need to be doing myself if I really want them to grasp those things. Keep going in verse 6. It says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. You know, I love that. It says to be upon your hearts in the NIV. The New Living Translation actually says wholehearted. And I love that because it's that idea and that picture of that you have to put all of yourself into this endeavor. That this is not just a half-hearted commitment that you can just kind of every once in a while pick up and it's going to do that. But we know that, don't we? That any worthwhile endeavor that we have in life starts with a wholehearted commitment. If you're going to start a business from scratch, it's going to take a wholehearted commitment. If you're going to lose that 10 pounds that you keep wanting to do every New Year's resolution, all right, it's going to take a wholehearted commitment. And if we're going to do the things that we want to do with our kids, it is going to take a wholehearted commitment. The last thing that he gives, the writer of Deuteronomy gives us a little bit of picture of how we actually should do this. And look at verse 7. It says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you go along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Now, there's a string of commercials that's been on TV for some time now. And it's basically saying, you know what, if you want to keep your kids off drugs, if you want to keep them away from alcohol or not smoke or that kind of thing, then here's you go, parents. Are you ready for this? Talk to them. You know what? He says, talk to them, but not just talk once. It says, repeat these things to them over and over and over and over and over again. Because in that repetition is when they might finally start to get it. And that becomes the most important thing. You know, it says at home or on the road. I have a friend of mine who says he's got 3 kids. And he says, you know what? I never go on an errand alone. Because if I take one of my kids with me to go get the oil changed, or if I take one of my kids with me to go to the grocery store, it's in those minutes that I've got their full attention. And I can talk to that child and have a conversation with them and just get to know that one child away from everything else. And I love that thing. Because you see, I think these talks that we're talking about, yes, it's talks about the faith. It's talking about all the different things that's going on in your life and their lives and how important God is. But I also think sometimes that talks are just very important just for their overall well-being. Sometimes those unstructured talks can be the absolute best thing for them. I remember growing up, and at holidays, we'd always spend an extended time with family. And Dad's parents had had a lakefront property on Holly Lake Ranch, and they had a screened-in porch. And I knew that as soon as I got up, which was usually pretty much pretty early, that my grandfather was going to be out on the back porch, and he usually had already finished at least one cup of coffee before I got there. And I'll never forget those times, being 7, 8, 9 years old, that I would join them on the patio, and it was my dad, and it was my granddad, and it was me. Now, today, I can't tell you one topic that we talked about. I can't tell you one thing that was said or anything else, but here's what I can tell you. The overall feelings of love and acceptance that I felt being in the company of my granddad and my dad, and feeling like, you know what, they care enough about me to include me in these conversations and to talk to me. Proverbs says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And I think that this is so critical because in my life, I know that God has a very special plan for Kai, and God has a very special plan for Case. And my prayer is that I would be the tool and the resource that they need. God has an incredible picture for them, and it's just an enormous vision that He is going to change the world with their lives, and I know He's going to, and we talk about this all the time. We'll say, Kai, you know what? God is going to use you in an incredible way. And he doesn't realize it yet, and he doesn't know what it is, but I want him to realize that God has a plan, and we're going to help reveal that to him along the way.
Rob Daniels, who we're going to hear from on this segment, is a guy who every once in a while just catches me, stops by, and tells me a story about something he's done with his kids to be intentional. So one day I asked Rob if he'd be willing to let me turn on a recorder and have him describe some of these things he's been doing so that I could share it on the podcast, and he said he'd be glad to do that. So we're going to be in my office where I'm just casually sitting across from Rob asking him questions about what it means for him to be an intentional dad. So Rob, tell me, first of all, tell me a little bit about what you do and a bit about your story.
Well, I am a maintenance man. I the most exciting thing I do, I may change a light bulb or two and do a little remodel here and there when it's required.
Okay, so you're being modest, because what that really means is you know how to do all the things that makes a man that the rest of us have to hire somebody to do. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know about that, but it's something I enjoy doing. I enjoy fixing things when they're broken. You know, tools, I like the manly things, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I just like that sort of thing. I enjoy what I do. It's fun.
And how long have you been married?
Me and my wife have been married 14 years.
So, Rob, because you're being intentional with your kids like this and talking about the faith, you must be professionally trained as a theologian, right?
No, I am not.
You're not?
No, I'm not by far. I have never had any schooling in the ministry whatsoever.
Well, aren't you supposed to leave this to the professionals? I mean, aren't you supposed to let us handle these things with your kids? What are you doing meddling with the spiritual life of your children?
Well,
You're not trained for this.
I love my children very dearly, and I am concerned for their souls. Mm. And I think that is the least that I could do, and the most that I could do is to share my faith with them.
The reason I wanted to talk to you is because you're just an example. There are moms and dads, you know, all over the church who are trying to be more intentional, trying to instill faith in their kids. And so talk to me about some of the things that you guys have instituted in your home.
Well, what we've done was my two youngest boys are 11 and 9. And so in the beginning stages, you know, you kind of put them to bed and you have the bedtime prayer and that sort of thing. And we have a little scripture or something we share at night. So I was thinking of, you know, how do we get that, you know, in other parts of their lives throughout the day? We have a whole day, you know, how can we do that to instill these, I guess, disciplines, you know, if you will. And so I thought, what if I just put some simple scriptural-based prayers on some index cards that they could pray in the morning on the way to school? Because my wife had already been trying to encourage them to pray in the morning on their way to school. So I thought, what about getting the truth in them? again, it's just some index cards. Where I saw it was on probably the card the size of a business card.
Oh, and you stick them on a ring.
On a ring. They're on like a, some kind of a piece of string.
Okay, so you do a hole punch in the side.
Exactly,
okay,
exactly.
It.
So it's a prayer ring. You flip through it. It's easily accessible, right, and that sort of thing. So at first, they would starting off, they would just read that prayer and pray that particular prayer that I'd written. Now, as they're growing in that, they're using that as a springboard, which is very cool to see that and hear them really use that.
Did this while you were driving? Is that how it works?
They do it once. Yes, exactly. It became with my wife had started it. It's like right before there's a certain spot, I guess, on the road where they know they're going to be getting close. So, okay, whose turn is it to pray, you know? And so,
and that spot triggers the
exactly.
Routine.
That's the routine. And so they start and they know they have to pray. They have a certain amount of time to get to school. And so they'll whoever turn it is, they'll pray and right before they get to school.
All right. So you've got this prayer ring. It's got these cards on it that you adapted some scriptural language that they can start to pray. So give me an example or two of what that might look like.
Well, an example is, Father, thank you for a new day. Your word says to walk in the light as you are in the light. So help us to do good things because you are good. There is no God besides you. You're perfect in everything that you do. Watch over us today and keep us safe. In Jesus' name, amen. So they're short and sweet and simple, and we will change those periodically, change out those cards using other scriptures to just broaden what they're getting, you know.
Kind of to broaden their exposure to a wider range of scriptural ideas.
Exactly.
It reminds me a little bit of, I've got some prayer books that go back to, some of them to the Puritans, some of them more recent than that, where the body of believers comes around common prayers that have been either from Scripture or from believers from the past. Sounds a little bit like you're doing that in the home with your kids to give them kind of a foundation that's scripturally based, and then that becomes a springboard for more spontaneous prayer. Is that right?
Yes, that's true.
The idea you just shared is kind of fun because you're already driving them to school, right? Mm-hmm. So take advantage of the time you've got.
Yeah.
Have you found any other things that work for your home?
We've actually used a couple of ideas from the Home Point Center. We used the treasure map. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, yeah, the family night on treasure.
Family night, the treasure map. And we took, I'd made two treasure maps.
Okay.
And I'd made one. Really, I used different colors and all these different little drawings and things on it, which was just made it as lively and as colorful as I could. And it was, I'd have made the paces that I made that they had to walk out were the shortest distance to X marks the spot. Then I made another map, which was just dull and drab, and there was probably three times the paces to X marks the spot. It looked longer to the treasure than the first one did. And again, it was just dull and drab looking. There was just the paces marked out. There was nothing, no color, nothing. And so I put it before them and say, and I told them there's a treasure to each one of these. There is a treasure now. And which one would you guys like to hunt down first? And obviously they chose the one that was more colorful, the shortest distance. It was neat to hear them rationalize. One would say, well, this one only has, you know, 20 paces. This one, and it's, I mean, look at that, and look at, it looks cool, you know, and it was kind of neat to hear kind of rationalize back and forth of why they should take this one and why they shouldn't take the other one.
Okay, so you stick it in front of the two of them, they kind of, okay, which one are we going to go with? We're going with the fun one.
Yeah, they're going with the fun one, and they got to the end of it, and it was, I think I put it like an umbrella and something else at the end of it, and they were both kind of like, what?
We call this a treasure?
Yeah, this is not a treasure. I'm like, well, it is a treasure, too. It just depends on who you ask, right? So, and I'm like, they were all kind of disappointed. They didn't want to do the other map at that point because they're like, what's the point? You know, I don't want to do this. So I'm like, why don't we just do it just for fun to see what's at the X? And so they did it, and I had this just big pile of change, you know, and they were all excited.
Oh,
you know,
so they were rich when they got
there. No, they were rich, yeah. It was a bunch of nickels and dimes, so, but it was fun.
Okay, so you had the fun-looking easy map, which was kind of a lame treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the more difficult, boring-looking map, which was a pile of money.
Which was a pile of money,
okay,
yes.
Okay, so what was the point out of that?
The point was, in seeking the truth, is not always pretty, is not always fun, is not always colorful when you're seeking God's treasure.
It's not always easy either.
It's not always easy. It's not always fun. It's not always what you think it should be. But it will definitely pay in the end.
It's worth it
in the end. You'll be rewarded.
So you've tried some family night type activities. Mm-hmm. You do the prayer ring on the way to school.
Mm-hmm.
But those are just little steps of being intentional. What I found that's fun is you start talking to parents about what are you doing to be intentional, and they all have a slightly different idea,
mm-hmm.
which is great because what works for your family that they could do? What would you say to parents who are kind of intimidated by this intentionality discussion?
I would say it's something that you just cannot not do. To think about, I know that I need to teach my children the Word of God. I need to show them. And it was overwhelming, kind of that kind of just my eyes were just glossed over, like, how do I conquer this task, But what you guys have done, if you've broken it down to simple steps, and there's a huge variety of different things that you could do, and it makes it so easy and so simple to where it doesn't take anything at all to apply that.
You know what, though, when I started, I started because I was with a business associate, and he started talking to me about these things he was doing with his kids. And I remember thinking, man, I'm not doing anything like that. That sounds pretty cool. But it took me a couple of months of him telling me stories before I actually mm-hmm. stepped out there and tried to do something. Now, I did it a couple of weeks with my kids, and they never let us stop because they loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was funny because I suddenly felt like a success. Hey, this is not hard, and I'm a hero. That's always a good thing. But you still battle the discipline of, it is a discipline still, even though it can be easy, can be fun. It also is something that if you don't put it on the schedule, if you don't build it into your routine, it's just not going to happen, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's like seeking God's treasure. It's not always easy.
Oh, good point. Good point.
We have to be intentional. We have to be mindful and make it a conscious effort to do it.
It's worth it in the end.
It is.
A friend of mine, Lance Shoemake, is another ordinary dad who's trying to be intentional with his four children. Lance, like the other guys we've heard from, is not a pastor. He's president of an organization called IGO that kind of coordinates overseas trips for students and so forth. Well, not long ago, Lance was speaking at Lake Point Church, and he opened up his talk telling a story of something that he did with his children that I think you'll find interesting and encouraging. So this is Lance Shoemake talking about his perspective on what it means to be an intentional dad.
One of the things I love the most about Lake Point Church is our Home Point initiative. And if you've never actually checked out the Home Point Center on our campus, I really want to encourage you to do that. There's just resources in there just all over the place for every kind of phase that you might be in. My wife and I, we have four children because we're a little bit crazy. And their ages are 10, 8, 6, and 3. And so I've got this task, right? The Bible shows me, and God tells me that I'm supposed to be leading my family. If we're honest, that's a little bit intimidating. All the different ages that I have, and I've got to figure out how to lead them, how to disciple them, and how to teach them the Word of God. I have these four kids, and they're all completely different, right? I mean, if you have more than one child, that it doesn't matter that they're the same mom, same dad. It doesn't matter. They're going to be completely different from each other. And so I have this oldest son, Austin, who's 10 now, and he's my competitive kid. He's into sports. That's his passion. That's his life. He just wants to win at everything. In fact, he doesn't even want people to call him Austin. He wants people to call him AJ because he thinks it gives him more street cred. And so that's his life, right? I have a daughter, Liberty, and she's just a girly girl. When I take her fishing, she wears a dress. She's like, are we going fishing? Yeah, okay, well, I'll go get my fishing dress on. She's just the girly girl of all girly girls, right? Then I have a youngest daughter, Glory, and she's 3, and she's just smiling all the time. And as I say that, she's probably screaming somewhere in the kids' camp ministry today. But she's just usually like, she kind of represents her name, Glory, and she's just smiling, she's happy, and she sings, and it's fun. And I skipped over my 6-year-old. Because I don't really have words for him. We gave him the name Wesley when he was born. He changed it when he was 3.5 to Dub. He said, Wesley starts with a W. I'll shorten that to Dub. Call me Dub. Literally, that's what he did. For like a couple of weeks, he trained us. I would say, hey, Wesley, come here. He's like, no, don't call me Wesley. My name's Dub. Okay, right? He always says, he just says crazy stuff all the time. I mean, he just does crazy things. We had a 12-year-old lab who was kind of approaching his Marley and Me moment, and we were preparing the kids, and Dub sits his grandmother down and says, Grammy, Shooter's getting really old. She's like, yeah. He goes, he's going to die soon. She goes, yeah, Dub, I know. He goes, and then we're going to eat him. I don't know where he gets that. And this is Dub's life, and so I don't ever know what to do with him. When I'm missing him, I usually look for him, and I'll find him under our Suburban with a hammer just banging on stuff. What are you doing? I had to fix that. I had to get up in there and fix that. Oh, okay. Well, let me know how it works out. And so you got all these kids, and they're so different, and the Home Point Center can help you disciple even a family like mine. And so one of the resources I absolutely love in there is the recipe cards for family night activities. And there's just this one card, and basically it gives you this recipe, this ingredients to make a great family night activity. So it has like a biblical truth that you want to teach your kids. And it says, here's how you can do that in a creative way. And so you just have to follow the playbook. And so I was checking that out one time, and I saw this one that Kurt had written called Upstairs, Downstairs. And I thought, this will be fun with my kids. So let me explain what happens. I get my kids one night, and my youngest daughter, I thought she was too young. So my wife and I and the youngest daughter, Glory, we go up to the top of the stairs. And I get the other three down at the bottom of the stairs. In our house, we have this long stairway, 16 steps, top to bottom, no turns, no land, just one long, dangerous place, okay? And I get the kids at the bottom of the stairs. I'm like, here's the deal, guys. We're going to have a family night challenge tonight. And Austin, he's like, challenge? I'm ready, you know? And I said, here's what's going to happen. If you succeed in the challenge, you get a reward tonight. And the reward is ice cream. Now I've got their attention. So here's the deal. All you have to do in order to succeed is you have to get from where you are at the bottom of the stairs to the top of the stairs where I am. But there's two rules before you begin. Number one, nothing on you at any time can touch the stairs. And number two, no part of you at any time can touch the railing. Go. I just stepped back a little bit and I just kind of watched this unfold, because you got three different kids wired differently and they react completely different. Austin was like, ice cream, top, okay, can't touch the stairs. He backs up, takes a few steps, launches himself. He lands on about the fourth step. Boom. He's like, ah, gets up. I got to get a more running start. And he backs up further and launches himself again. Makes about 4.5 steps. Boom. And that's what he did for the rest of the exercise. I mean, the whole activity. He's just pummeling himself on the stairs. He's just backing up. And I guess he thinks in mid-stride he's going to become LeBron James and soar 16 steps up to the top. He's just killing himself on the stairs. It was hilarious. Dub's climbing up the railing. Hey, Dub, no, that's the railing. Get off the railing. You can't get on the railing. He's like, oh, okay. He comes down off the railing, dodges Austin. He comes over here. He goes to the other side. He starts climbing this railing. Dub, listen, that's the railing. You can't be on the railing. He comes down off of that, and he's like, what are you doing to me? And then I could tell he got that look. I could tell he's thinking, I need lumber and power tools. I can build this. And all that's going on, and my daughter, Liberty, is standing in the middle. She hasn't moved, and she's just, like, processing the whole thing. I could tell she's processing because she's saying the same thing. Daddy, we can't do this. Daddy, we can't do this. And as she's processing, we can't do this, she's thinking, and we're not going to get ice cream. And then panic starts to set in. The panic turns into what I call girl mad, okay? A whole different level of mad. Her fist starts clenching right here. You've seen this somewhere. And then she changes what she's saying, and it becomes kind of the crescendo. I started watching her because I'm like, okay, I don't want to blow this thing. And she starts going, Daddy, you have to make it easier, and I am serious. I said, okay, listen, do you guys want a hint? And she's like, yes. Okay. You can't touch the stairs and you can't touch the railing, but I can. Oh, you can come get us. I said, well, yeah, but did you ask me? I didn't hear anybody ask me. Yeah, I could come get you, but will you please come get us and take us to the top of the stairs? Sure. So that's what I did. I go down, and I get them, and I take them up to the top of the stairs. Now, I'm following the recipe from the Home Point Center just to the T. I'm like, I'm about to be dad of the year, right? And so at the top of this thing, I've got a whiteboard, and I've drawn the Bridge to Life illustration up on that whiteboard. You guys have seen this before, where God is on one side and we're separated. There's this great chasm. We're separated from Him because of our sin. And no matter what we do, we can't get to where God is. And I start explaining that to my kids. And I'm trying to make that connection with them, you know. So just like you guys couldn't get up to the top of the stairs, there was nothing you could do to get up to the top of the stairs. We can't do anything that would get us to God. I had to come get you. I had to go down to the bottom of the stairs and bring you up. And God sends His Son Jesus to live on this earth, and He dies on the cross to bring us to God. You didn't get up to the stairs on your own. I got you to the top of the stairs. But you got there because of my work. And so you get the reward. You get ice cream. And so they're all excited. I'm like, let's go get ice cream. So we take off running down the stairs, and we're getting down towards the bottom of the stairs. And Dub, of course, trips and falls. Boom, 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 about four steps, lands there. He's sprawled at the bottom of the stairs. And I'm looking, I kind of turned the corner, and I saw it out of the corner of my eye. I look back, and I'm like, Dub, what happened? He's laying there at the bottom of the stairs. He goes, I died on the cross. There's no recipe for that. By the way, you can pick up those recipe cards and you can have that entertainment with your family. They printed up some of those specific cards in the Home Point Center. Stop by there.
There are a lot of sources. There are a lot of ideas. You don't have to use the concepts described by any of these dads. Just come up with one that works for your family. The key is let's get going. Let's be intentional. Let's move beyond that bit of hesitancy that keeps us from starting the routine and really become intentional about the spiritual formation of our own children. And so if we can provide tools or resources or just inspiration, we're glad to do so. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.